Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, church, and welcome back to episode 2 of our new all-in message series as we step into the fall together. Now, if you're visiting with us today for the first time, either online or on site here in the building, I want you to know how glad we are that you've joined us today, and we're so excited for you and your family and the next steps that God has for your life, because it's all about moving forward. As a matter of fact, I've always seen our church, Calvary, as a next steps church, because we exist to reach people who are far from God and help them become fully devoted followers of Christ. We all need to be growing. You know, our vision is to see every member growing and contributing, either taking a next step or helping someone else take a next step. And no matter how far we've come, I think we can all agree that we've still got some growing to do, right? We've still got some room for improvement. We haven't arrived quite yet. And, you know, each of us are called to move forward and to continue to develop. But if we stay put too long, something happens. If we stop serving, stop loving, stop giving out with our lives, suddenly we begin to stagnate. And stagnation is the enemy of growth and life. You know, there's two major bodies of water, two huge oceans, as it were, in the land where Jesus walked. One is the Sea of Galilee. It's this beautiful lake that's filled with fish and surrounded by lush growth, which I've actually had the opportunity to visit and to sail on to eat some of that fish. Seems like an ocean, actually, this one, but it's a lake. And the other body of water is the Dead Sea. And the salt content in this body of water is incredible. It's like 25 to 35%. So it's literally 10 times saltier than any other ocean in the world. And there's no seaweed or plants in and around this, no growth, no fish of any kind. As a matter of fact, you'll see the picture, myself sitting on that boat on the Sea of Galilee, which is a contrast to the Dead Sea. But the Dead Sea doesn't have the same kind of vibrant life. As a matter of fact, when a fish accidentally swims into the Dead Sea from one of the rivers that feed into it, one of the freshwater rivers, they die instantly. Just like that, they're gone. Suddenly they're covered with this preserving layer of salt, and they end up washed on the shore. Now, both the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea are fed by the Jordan River. Now, there's one key difference that causes the Sea of Galilee to flourish with life. While the Dead Sea is barren and lifeless, the Sea of Galilee has an outlet. The Dead Sea does not. Water flows through the Sea of Galilee. It keeps moving, right? So spiritual input without spiritual output equals stagnation. You know, in his second letter to the churches in Asia Minor, Peter challenges the church to keep taking those important next steps in their devotion to God, to continue to grow. And that challenge is clearly represented in his final words of this letter to the church to cause the people there to remain fully devoted and also to be on their guard against false teaching and false teachers. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Rather, you must grow in or go all in or be fully devoted to the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You know what? When we allow what he's put within us to flow through us to others, we will continue to grow. Salvation was never meant to be the final destination or the end of our spiritual journey, but the beginning. And regardless of where you are on that journey, there's always another step to take in your growth. So what we try to do here as a church is to make those steps as clear as possible and then help people to take them. Psalm 92, verse 13 says, "Those who are planted or all in or rooted. And so this scripture kind of defines a deeper level of engagement. Those people who are planted in the house of the Lord, the Bible says, will flourish, or they'll grow, they'll thrive, they'll prosper in the courts of the Lord. So those, again, as we read this, is really saying those who go all in, those who are planted, move into this flourishing level in their life where growth takes place. We don't just want to see you come on a Sunday and fill a seat and come and go. We want to see you grow and flourish in your relationships, in your marriage, in your family, in your business, to all thrive in your life, to prosper as your soul prospers. And regardless of what's going on, and listen, things have gone on and things will continue to happen in our lives and in this world, it's still possible to grow and thrive in your spiritual, your emotional, and even your physical health. Why? Because he has overcome the world. Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. He's conquered the world for us, and now he abides within us. So despite all the things that are happening in our lives or in this world, whatever we're facing, he can still cause us to grow, to be transformed. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So the Bible's talking about this progression. There are steps to follow as you grow, and it refers to it as the path of life. And the result of walking on that path, what is it? It's fullness of joy. Remember, joy is internal. Happiness is external, which means you have horrible weather, there's a snowstorm or a rainy day, or you get stuck in traffic, your happiness gets derailed. But your joy is rooted much deeper. Your joy is connected to who you know. And then the Bible talks about these pleasures it mentions. And you know what? It's not just earthly pleasures. It's talking about emotional pleasure or family pleasure. God's very best for your life when we go all in. God has more for you today than you're currently experiencing, which I think should give us all great hope. That's the power of the gospel. Now, each one of us has to identify where we are on that path so that we can understand the next steps to take. But there's basically four major steps we need to understand in order to experience healthy spiritual growth. And this is true theologically from cover to cover, from the Old Testament to the New, and it's what God has always intended and wanted for you. Now, these steps are often expressed in kind of different ways throughout the Bible to help people understand, but the overall picture is the same. As a matter of fact, there's at least 14 different places where God communicates these truths in different ways, but today we're going to look at just one. It's found in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul. Now, an apostle is basically someone who starts or plants a church. And Paul would go in and he would start a church and he would raise up leaders. And then he would write to them to give them instruction, to give them correction sometimes, and to encourage them. So he was pastoring these churches as he pastored these pastors that he put in place to lead them. And most of these churches that we're talking about are in the area of modern-day Turkey, and one of them was a city called Ephesus. Ephesus, I've had the opportunity to visit with Bob Cave, our missionary here from Calvary, and so it's just incredible to walk in the steps of these great men like Paul. And so here was this letter that he wrote to these church plants, Ephesians 1. We're going to look at 17 and then move into 18. It says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ," in other words, it starts off by saying in verse 16 that I'm remembering you and I'm praying for you. And then as he gets into 17, he says, "I keep asking God," he keeps praying for them, "the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that light would go on in their heart, so that they would know him better, that they would know him better. In other words, Paul's encouraging them to go all in. And that's when he shares these four steps. And the four steps. But the first one is knowing God. That's where it all begins. And for you today, if you're seeking those answers, this could be the day you take that first step. And you'll have an opportunity as we end our service today to pray together. Now, the word that he uses here for know and to know him has a much bigger meaning in the Greek language than we see in our own minds. See, it's a deeper level of knowing somebody. Actually, it's the most intimate form of knowing someone. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that Adam knew Eve and they had children, right? So it's intimate knowledge. But it's more than a sexual term, it's an intimate term. Christianity, as we know, is not a religion, it's a relationship. Going all in with God is all about intimacy with God. And you can know God. You can have this intimate, personal, real, meaningful, and vibrant relationship with the creator of the universe. And so when the people of Paul's day were hearing this, they were like, what is he talking about? We can have that kind of relationship with God, our creator. This was a revelation. See, when you do know him, when you have that kind of personal relationship, he transforms you and you become a better version of yourself. And once we know him, well, then we move into the next three steps that we see in verse 18. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Well, obviously our hearts don't have eyes, but he was trying to describe to them what's happening. Because all of us in our lives see through a different filter. And that filter is dictated by the experiences that we've had. Things that over time, maybe hurts or things that have taken place, begin to hold us back. Areas that we all need to find freedom from in order to move forward once again. And we all have those areas. None of us have arrived, right? We all have something that we're struggling with. As a matter of fact, the Message translation says it like this, that your heart becomes focused and clear. So that's really the prayer here. I pray that your hearts become focused and clear in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. You see, true hope comes when you understand that you have been called by God. When we understand his purpose for our lives. And once you've settled your yesterdays, then you can press in and move in to your tomorrows. Mark Twain said it best when he said the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. Then you can experience the fourth step, which is the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Listen to me. God wants to make you rich. And I'm not talking about money. The happiest people on the earth are not those without problems and a massive bank account. It's those who are making a difference in the lives of other people. So our inheritance is actually found in his holy people, not in things. Rich in good deeds, as scripture says. Each of us will sleep better knowing that we've made a difference in someone's life. And wherever you are in your spiritual journey, my hope is that we walk through this together, even in this message today, that it will encourage you just to take another step forward. So let me give you the same four steps that Paul outlines in those two verses that I've just read, but let me give it to you in a more practical way. Maybe put some handles on it so that you can walk in that truth today. The first one, it's time to get closer to God. It's time, right? Don't just settle for watching online or attending on Sunday and coming and going. Determine in your life, I am going all in. I guarantee you that if you take one full year of your life and you join a small group, you go to the Next Steps class, you begin to worship on Sunday with other believers, You come out midweek with your family. You do the things that are here. You agree with God's people when we come together for fireside prayer. If you do all these things for one full year, I can assure you that your life will become notably improved. When you experience God's purpose, you experience the growth that he intends for you. See, there's more to becoming a Christ follower than just going to heaven. There's so much more to it than that. You want his kingdom to come here on earth and his will to be done in your life. Some of you, even from a basic level, coming on Sunday or worshiping from home, you need to go all in when it comes to worship. You need to take that next step. I remember way back when I attended a church where people were raising their hands and singing and dancing, and it was foreign to me. I'd grown up in a more religious setting. But when God had done something in my life, I just felt like I needed to take a step. And so I was determined I was going to lift up my hand just a little bit. I felt like everybody in the whole room was watching me, and I'm sure nobody was. It seemed at the time like this huge risk. And then finally I did it, and I stepped into it. You see, all of us have a different step to take when it comes to going all in and getting closer to God. I think the world thinks that being a Christian is just about believing something or going to church. But that's not what the Bible says. It's all about knowing him intimately. It's having that relationship. The second step, it's about time to get honest with a friend. It's time to get honest with somebody that you trust. Listen, we all have issues in life, and we all need freedom from those issues. And developing trusted relationships, believe me, takes time. That's why being a part of a small group is so significant to the growth that God has for you. Spiritual growth takes place in community. You need someone that you can trust and be real around. Let someone know that you're dealing with anxiety or addiction or fear. Let them know you're struggling with your mental health. That's the start of getting the help that you need to be free in your life from the things that have held you back for so long. Those are the first steps. Those are the most important steps. It's just moving forward just a bit. James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for those so that you may be healed." When you pray for each other, you find healing. You see, we go to God for forgiveness, but we experience healing and growth around one another. And I think the guys struggle with this one because, you know, getting vulnerable is not something that most of us want to do, bearing our heart in front of other people. But when you find the right relationship and you build a relationship with somebody that you can trust, that builds you up when you struggle, and when you do the same, things begin to change. Start dealing with yesterday so that you can move effectively into tomorrow. Number three, it's time to discover my real purpose in life. Listen, there's a difference between career and calling, and you feel it. You come home and you realize there's a restless feeling in me, like there's something more. I'm not satisfied, regardless of your paycheck. You have something that you've been created in your life to do, to make a difference in this world. But you know what? You have to go to God in order to discover that, because you need to go to the one who's created you and put you together in the first place. You know, there's a new tree growing from an old stump in our backyard. Here's a picture of it. Now, it used to be a giant tree, massive tree in our backyard, but somewhere along the line, it got infested with some kind of insect or parasite, and the branches, these massive branches, started to die, and some started to fall. So the landscapers and arborists, they came, and they removed a lot of the branches that were dying in the middle. But then this massive tree became top heavy. So the first massive windstorm that we have, this thing just crashed to the ground, crushed our fence, just grazed the side of our house, and then landed in the backyard. And so then the landscapers had to come back and actually chop the whole thing down, cut it all up. And the only thing that was left was this stump, a memory of a tree that used to be. It looked like it was dead and done. It was the end of the line for this tree. But because that tree stump was rooted in the ground and out in the sun and out in the rain, it still had the potential to grow, still had the ability to reach a comeback in its lifespan. Now, if you look at that picture a few years later, it's growing again out of the stump, and it hasn't taken that long. Is that you? Maybe you feel like life has knocked you down, that you can't grow spiritually anymore. Maybe some of you have just determined, I don't even want to bother to try. You feel like that old stump in your life. I want to encourage you today to go all in with all of the resources that you have. And nowadays, we have so many of them. Make the best of every resource that we offer here at the church. We're here to add value to your life and to help you grow as a disciple of Christ. And if you do, I guarantee you, you will start to grow again. You'll move past the things that you didn't think were possible. Which brings us to our final point, number four. This is the last step. It's time to do something that is greater than myself. Now, next week, Pastor Vince is going to get into this one in greater detail as we explore serving on Team Calvary. And it's all actually less about a need we have and more about a need that you have. It's another opportunity for you to grow as you serve. John 15:8 and then down to verse 11 says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit." In other words, that you grow, that you're a productive Christ follower, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I have told you this so that what? So that our schedules will be filled, so that our programs can keep going. Well, listen, all of those things are important, but that's not really what it's all about. It's so that, here's what the scripture says, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That's what it's all about. So as we serve God and then we serve one another, we do it for us and we do it for them, for your growth and for the growth of those around you. It will change your life and it will cause you to make a difference in the lives of other people. We're all called to go all in, to make a difference, to embrace what's next in our lives and in our church. But it all starts with knowing Him. Would you join me in that journey, wherever you are on it? Maybe you do know Him. Maybe it's time for you to step out in a way that is a next step for you, whether that's getting help or serving or making a relational connection. But for some of you today, it's more importantly about that first step, about recognizing your need for a Savior and saying yes to the hope of heaven. Today, it would be my great honor to pray with you. And some of you may be feeling like, I need to make a commitment. I need to know Christ in a personal way like you're talking about. You can. You can today by simply inviting Him into your life. And suddenly that transformative power is within you to help you do the things that you struggled for so long to do. So if that's you today, I want to pray for you. And I want to pray for all of you that no matter where you are on that path of life, that you would take that next step. But let's start with knowing Him, coming closer to Him. Let's pray. Father, I pray for those today that are seeking, that wherever they are around the world, that today they would recognize their need for you. And if that's you today, I want you to join me praying this prayer. Lord Jesus, I recognize my need for a Savior. I recognize my need for you. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to take those important next steps and transform me into who you've called me to be. And help me to take this good news to everyone that I know as we continue to see your life spread in Jesus' name. And now, God, I pray for everyone else. For those of you that do know Him, that maybe have walked this path for some time, but have maybe entered into a season of stagnation, where you just feel like that stump, like you can't grow anymore. Today, I want you to know that the seeds of potential for the kingdom of God are in you right now. And God wants to bring those seeds to life. But it all comes back to the prayer we just prayed. It's about coming closer to Him, because life sometimes pulls us away. I pray today that you would come close to Him, closer than ever before. And that, Lord, you would renew within each of us a desire to take that next step, to be free from the things that hold us back, and to move into the understanding of the calling that's upon each of our lives, and to walk into that inheritance that you've promised us, the holy people of God, that we can help to make a difference in the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week, and we'll see you again next week for Calvary Church Online.